Welcome to the Peavine Podcast, where each week we bring you the message from our Sunday morning worship service with Pastor Joel Sutherland. We take timeless biblical truth and help you to apply it in the context of your daily life. If you'd like to join us live at one of our campuses or stream one of our services online, go to peavine.org for times, locations, and more information.
Thank you, worship team. Love those songs today. Psalm chapter 1, if you have your Bible, Psalm 1. Start the series, first class. How do I get what they've got, right? It's okay to have a little bit of holy envy about our lives where we see something other solid Christians have and how to incorporate in that into our life. Paul said, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. So we understand it's okay to have kind of the scriptures in the flesh that we can model after to some degree. And so there's some areas we just want to do that in. And so today I want to preach on this subject, first class fortitude. What do I mean by that? We see people in the Christian life who are strong, who are resilient, who are even bold in the faith. They are consistent in the faith. And we're kind of at times wishy-washy in the faith. Is that okay? Is that a word to say, wishy-washy? I'm going to call it roller coaster religion later on, but wishy-washy in the faith, right? So here's the idea I want to get across out of Psalm 1, that fortitude is found in faithfulness. You might want to jot that in your Bibles there in your margin in Psalm chapter 1. Fortitude is found in faithfulness. Give me a few minutes to unpack that. I don't know if this is you. I saw this the other day, this meme, and your brain at 3 a.m., here's what your brain at 3 a.m. says to you. I can see you're trying to sleep, so I'd like to offer you a selection of every memory, unresolved issue, or thing you should have said or done today, as well as over the past 30 years. If that's you, let me see your hand. That's me, right? Right, like that is how we feel a lot of times, that our brain has us on this anxiety trail that we're on. And so therapists have studied this, for example. And let me see if I can get these pulled up here. Researchers looked at over 11,000 people across 51 different studies. They found a clear pattern. The less control someone feels they have over their life, the more anxious they tend to be. In other words, people who feel like life is happening to them instead of happening through them are much more likely to deal with anxiety. Therapists studied over 600 people with anxiety disorders, things like panic attacks, social anxiety, or constant worrying. They found that the people who started feeling more in control of their thoughts and lives were the ones who got better the fastest. A research team studied over 20,000 people, different backgrounds. They found that people who felt in control of their lives were much less likely to experience anxiety, especially true, by the way, for women. The study showed that having a sense of agency, that is, what do you mean by agency? Believing your choices matter, helped protect people from mental stress and fear. They studied those 20,000 people, found that people who felt in control of their lives were much less likely to experience anxiety. In other words, control makes you feel less anxious. We want to be in control of our lives. If you want to be in control of your life, raise your hand. Let me see. You want to be. You do want to be, right? But one reason we don't feel in control of our lives is we lack the faithfulness in our Christian walk that allows us to see what God is trying to do in our lives. I want to tell you, that feeling of control in your life comes from being faithful to the Lord. Now, Psalm 1 that we're going to read in just a moment was written after the post-exilic period in Israel's life. They were rebuilding their life in a pluralistic Persian-dominated world. And it was like typically it would be. It was a lot of voices, competing values that did not align with their moral code, biblical moral code. And the people needed a clear path forward. So this psalm opens up by declaring that strength comes from building your life on the instruction of God. Now, what you have when you go to the book of Psalm, this is the hymn book of the Hebrews. That's what all 150 Psalms are. They literally sang these hymns. And it's interesting that God had them put Psalm 1 at the beginning. Why is Psalm 1 at the beginning? It's at the front of the book to show God's people how to stand strong when the world around them pulls them in every direction, surrounded by pressure, surrounded by distractions that we're very familiar with. Here's what God's trying to tell them. Now, this is a word for you, listening. They didn't need a new plan. They needed to double down on the plan that God had already given them. They didn't need a new world. We live in a world where preachers like to get up in the pulpit and say, well, I've got a word for you this morning that nobody else has ever seen in the Bible. Hogwash, we don't need a word. No, most of the time, that's heresy. Hogwash is a Greek word. If you were smart like me, you'd know that word. Hey, that's not what we need. The Christian life is not complicated. God has boiled it down as simple as it can be. What we need is a renewed faithfulness to what God has already showed us, what God has already told us. Because I want to tell you this, unfaithfulness in your walk with God is going to make you much easier for the devil to knock you down. Just mark it down. The more unfaithful you are, the easier prey you're going to be for the devil. Now, I know you're me, we're all the same. We want to have that steady life, right? We want to have that fortitude in life. And I'm using maybe an older word for fortitude. You say, what is fortitude? Here's the best definition I could see. Fortitude is the God-given backbone. How many of you just wish you had a backbone sometimes? Say amen. Like, you just wish you were stronger than what you were, more courageous than what you were. Fortitude is the God-given backbone that keeps a Christian standing when everything else is trying to knock him flat. It is strength in the mind, strength in the heart, strength in the soul that will not bow, will not bend, or will not break. Hey, we have very little of Christian fortitude in our mind. We are dealing with the weakest minded generation we've ever dealt with, the weakest hearted generation we've ever dealt with, the weakest souled generation that we have ever dealt with, because our lives are filled with anxiety. Our lives are filled with chaos. And when it's that way, faithfulness seems unfathomable to our lives. And God is telling us in Psalm chapter 1 that there are two ways to live. You're going to catch this right off the bat. There is grounded, planted with fortitude, and there is frantic and anxiety filled. There is, in other words, faithful and unfaithful. One is spiritually tough. The other is going to get knocked over very easily. Now, I want to tell you this morning, this culture we live in fights against our faithfulness to God. The culture you live in, it wants you to be unfaithful to a living Savior we just sang about. They want you to be unfaithful to church. What does that mean? That means the enemy is going to give you all sorts of opportunities to say, I'm not coming to church, to have things more important to church, to put things in front of church, have everything on Sundays. Hey, it wasn't that many years ago where nothing happened in the South on a Wednesday night or a Sunday. It shut down. Used to, wasn't 40 years ago, you couldn't find a restaurant open on a Sunday. Now, you say, well, I'm not saying it ought to be that way today. I'm just saying that's how far the culture has come. The culture has come so far that now we got ball games on Sundays and ball games on Wednesdays and all this stuff going on that used to happen. Why? Hey, the enemy is putting things in our path to get us unfaithful to church, to get us unfaithful to Christ, to get us unobedient to His word. Because the devil knows this, if you are unfaithful, then you're going to be easier for him to pick off. And if you stay unfaithful, you'll stay unfruitful. If you stay unfaithful, you'll stay unfruitful. You say, well, preacher, it must be nice to be the preacher. You get paid to come to church. Like, be easy to be you with your easy life. Hey, don't think my life is easy. Listen, I know frantic and anxiety. I know that. I'm well familiar. They have been close companions in my life as well, franticness and anxiety. But listen, for the child of God, those should be situations, not lifestyles. Look, you go back and you read the book of Job, right? How many of you are familiar with the book of Job? Say amen. You know Job? All right, so you know Job. You know Job chapter 1, there's nobody more faithful than Job. There's not a person in this book more faithful than Job. But we come along, and in just a few verses, Job's life absolutely falls apart. And when I read through Job, you know what I see? I see anxiety. When I read through Job, you know what I see? A little bit of chaos. When I read through Job, I see a little bit of questioning. But listen, let me tell you what it was in Job's life. It was situational in lifestyle. Job, even though his life fell apart, came back to the Lord very quickly. And the Bible said he never sinned during all of that. Job, listen, chaos is going to happen in your life. Things are going to fall apart in your life. But that ought to be situational, not lifestyle. And too many of us are living the lifestyle of it. But God has told us how. God has given us a plan, a process that brings about faithfulness, fortitude, peace, and calm into your life. And it's Psalm chapter 1. Would you stand with me as we read God's word, Psalm chapter 1? It's one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. I could preach 100 sermons out of this. I love coming back to it. And by the way, I'm not able to deal with every word in the Psalm today. It's just too rich. I'm gonna point some big overarching general ideas out of Psalm chapter 1. Look at verse 1. How happy is the one who does not walk in the advice of the wicked, or stand in the pathway with sinners, or sit in the company of mockers. Instead, his delight is in the Lord's instruction. He meditates on it day and night. It's like a tree planted beside flowing streams that bears its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does prospers. The wicked are not like this. Instead, they are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand up in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to ruin. Thank you. You may be seated. Here's what I want to do now. I'm going to walk through and I'll point out some things about Psalm chapter 1 in reference to how the word today I feel like the Lord wants me to bring. He talks about in verse number 3, that talking about the righteous man, the faithful man, that he is like a tree that has been planted. This person is described as a tree, symbolizing durability, stability. Tomorrow on my Patreon, I'm going to talk about the imagery. I spend another 20 minutes on that imagery of being a tree and being planted. There's a reason God used those words. The word planted means that you are intentionally placed in a certain place. And then when you place yourself in a certain place, and by the way, like a tree planted. I don't have time for all this, but that is in the passive, so it means the action is being done to you, but the context of the Hebrew tells me that it is in an active voice. In other words, you are planting yourself. It is where you choose to plant yourself. And so when the Bible says that you're like a tree, that you yourself have planted you where you ought to go. You have planted yourself by a flowing stream. And when you do that, when you've planted yourself, that you're going to be fruitful in the Christian life. You're going to have reliable output. Also, your leaf is not going to wither. I mean, no decay, no decline of the Christian life. And whatever he does will. I mean, what a great promise in Scripture. Whatever he does will prosper. That indicates that if you'll plant yourself in the right place, right? Like a tree planted, you will be effective. You will have success in life. This person stays grounded, holds steady under pressure, and their life produces fruit like a tree planted. Whatever you do will prosper. But now notice the next person is not the same. The next person it describes, verse number 4, is the chaff that the wind blows away. The chaff was the worthless, empty husk from the grain. It was absolutely worth nothing. And he said the other group of people who are not planted, or who are planted in the wrong place, actually, will be scattered, forced hither and there. The wicked are not like this. Instead, the chaff, the wind blows them back, or it drives them. It's great imagery there. It means they have no weight. You have no root. You have no direction, that their lives, their minds, their emotions are unstable. They are reactive. They are empty. They are easily tossed about by pressure. There's nothing firm. There's nothing fruitful in their life. In other words, this other person Psalm 1 is describing is all over the place. They've got no roots. They've got no weight. They've got no direction. They're just tossed by whatever comes around next. Or in other words, we're tossed around by whatever the culture, whatever direction the culture pushes us. You say, well, how do we get there? Well, you're going to have to plant yourself in the right place. Well, what is the right place? He says it. The person who plants themselves, who becomes faithful, delights in God's instruction, right? God's revealed instruction how to live. What do we call that? We call that the Bible. They would call it the Torah back in their day, but it's a Bible. And you meditate on it. What does that mean? That you return to that truth constantly. When storms come in your life, you go back to that truth over and over and over again. What you don't do, in other words, your thought life is shaped by Scripture. But it's not just your thought life. It's your habits are shaped by Scripture. Your decisions are shaped by Scripture. Your direction is formed by the Word of God. But then we go back and there's another group, right? There's the chaff. The wicked are like this. Instead, they are like chaff. Well, they've planted themselves too. But where have they planted themselves? They walk in the advice of the wicked, which means they adopt the thinking shaped by morally loose, self-centered voices. Now hold on for a minute, because I'm about to get... I have an edge this morning, just so you know. I've been emotional all week, and I get to Psalm 1, a sermon I was already preaching, and I see that what's going to mess your life up is when you adopt the thinking of the morally loose, self-centered voices. Is that not the voices that are dominating our culture today? Morally loose, self-centered. We're killing people because somebody hurt somebody's feelings. Morally loose, self-centered people. You're never going to have the success in life you ought to have where that's where you plant yourself. Or you plant yourself in the path of sinners. People who have no boundaries to their living. Or you're sitting in the seat of mockers. A mocker is a mindset that rejects and makes fun of what is true. And now we're living in a culture that continually rejects common biblical sense and makes fun of what is true in the Bible. So if you say a man can't become a woman, we're the weirdos. And in case you didn't know, a man cannot become a woman. And I could give many more examples. You can't live in that space and be planted in your Christian walk with God. You cannot be this, you cannot plant yourself where the chaff plants itself and get anywhere in your walk with God. You're not going to find courage there. You're not going to find fortitude there. You're not going to find strength and resiliency of your mind there. You're not going to find strength and resiliency of your emotions there. You're not going to find anything there. When you plant yourself where the chaff plants you, you're going to be blown around in circles all of your life. Well, what I do? When you plant yourself in the things of God, there's where you find success in life. So can I make just three overarching statements about planting yourself? First of all, I want to say this. If you want to have fortitude in your life, you're going to have to cut off what weakens your fortitude. See, here's what he said in verse 1. This is just one phrase I pulled out. That the man of fortitude, the man of God, the person of Christ, does not walk in the advice of the wicked. What does that mean? And there's several things there. You know, it goes from walking to standing to sitting. You see a moral degradation coming through that. What does he say? He says, you've got to stop walking with voices that are poisoning you. You cannot constantly be filling your mind with poison. You cannot, you've got to stop standing where sin easily trips you up. You've got to stop sitting with those who are going to mark truth. In other words, you've got to get the things out of your life that cause unfaithfulness, that speak unfaithfulness, that guard you away from truth. And you say, preacher, I don't have any friends. I'm not listening to all that stuff. You want to bet? I've unfriended and unfollowed people this week. If you celebrate the death of somebody, I just don't want to see it. I just can't take it. You say, well, wait, there was a Democrat state senator in Minnesota who was, yes, they were brutally murdered. I condemn that too. You know what Christians didn't do? Run to Facebook to celebrate it. TikTok, Instagram, just fill in the blank when I say Facebook. I'm old. Right? You have got to stop voices that are speaking into your life. I just want to tell you, this modern media does not like you and will not like you ever. So stop sitting with voices that mock the truth of God. I got this morning, I haven't been able to sleep a lot this week, and I got early this morning, I saw an article that came across my Apple News and about media people who were being fired because of things they were posting on social media. And I'm here for it, man. I'm all about it. Even, by the way, not been fired yet, but somebody at one of our local Chattanooga news stations posted something horrific on social media celebrating the death of Charlie Kirk. They were talking about one person and them getting fired, and every single quote that the article gave was taken out of context. Like, you can go actually watch the videos and they're all taken out of context. And the whole time Charlie Kirk's being called a fascist and a Nazi and Hitler and racist and all this stuff. But when they give you a link, if you actually can get out of your meme mind and go do a little bit of research, it's all taken out of context, every drop of it. Listen to me. This world, the devil owns the airwaves. And he's pumping you full of lies. See, and this is hard for me to be. I'm a naturally trusting person. I'm trusting to a fault. I'm a naturally trusting person. So I have to remind myself every now and then that the Bible says the devil is the father of lies. He told the first one and he's been telling them since then. You have got to cut that stuff off out of your mind. I saw this. A Psychology Today article notes that just a few minutes of morning phone checking can cast a negative emotional halo over your whole day, raising irritability, impatience, or sadness. Do not roll over in the morning and grab your phone. Roll over in the morning and grab your Bible. Increased stress and anxiety. Studies find excessive smartphone use can lead to symptoms of depression, anxiety, stress, and poor sleep quality. Flooding your brain with mindless content, negative news, doom scrolling, trigger your stress response. You know all that. But listen, people who read the Bible more often tend to stay more hopeful and see their struggles as part of God's plan, even during major life stress. American Bible Society's 2024 State of the Bible report said, based on national surveys, found that younger adults who consistently engage with Scripture show significantly higher flourishing scores, that is, mental health, hope, and relationships, than people who do not, peers who do not. You want to be faithful in the Christian life. You want to have fortitude in the Christian life. Get off this and get into this. Cut these voices off, which, by the way, I'm already preaching point two, so I won't spend much time here. Number two, plant yourself in God and His Word. They delight in the Lord's instruction. But if I get you to do anything this morning, if you want to be faithful in the Christian life so you can have courage and fortitude and staying power in the Christian life, you've got to open that Bible, love that Bible, let that Bible shape you. Just don't go to the Bible to learn the Bible, go to the Bible, to live the Bible. Oh, chew on it until it chews on you. What do you mean? Just don't read the book. You work on it till it works on you. And when it works on you, it'll change the way you walk. It'll change the way you think. It'll change the way you live. You stay in the Bible until it stays in you. And then you plant yourself in the things of God that you know will make you closer to Him. What do you mean? I mean, you need to plant yourself in coming to church. You've got to stop this in one Sunday, out the next, in one Sunday, out the next, looking for any reason not to be here. Hey, the average Peavine person still only comes about 1.9 times per month. That ought to be a lot closer to 3.9 than it is 1.9. You are never going to be faithful until you are faithful in the house of God. Hey, I'm not trying to get you to be faithful for me. I'm not. I'm trying to get you. I'm trying to get you to be faithful to you. You've got to get faithful and quit using any excuse not to be here. You've got to get your kids in church and make sure they're here every single Sunday. You've got to get faithful to prayer. You've got to get faithful to the Word. You've got to get some godly friends. You've got to build your life on the Word of God. Hey, I don't have time for this. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. Don't you love it when I say I don't have time for something to do it anyway? Turn to Matthew chapter 7. It's like we forget these verses in the Bible. I don't have them on the screen. Let me just drop them in here. Let me just parachute them in to you real quick. We forget Jesus said this. Like we forget these are the words of Jesus. And again, worthy, I could preach sermon every week on this. It's such an instructional passage. But look at Matthew chapter 7. It's the last thing in the Sermon on the Mount Jesus preached. Verse 24. Therefore, Jesus said, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them, that is, gets in this book, reads the book. He was saying this to you. He was saying it to you today. And acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the rivers rose, the wind blew and pounded the house, yet it didn't collapse because its foundation was on the rock or on the Word of God. But everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the rivers rose, the wind blew and pounded the house, and it collapsed. It collapsed with a great crash. Hey, two different people in the exact same circumstances. By the way, both of them heard the sermon. One of them acted on it. One of them did not. One of them built their lives on it. One of them did not. Both of them went through the same great storm in life. One made it and one didn't. One stayed faithful. One did not. What's the difference? One had planted themselves in God and His Word. You're just going to have to plant yourself and quit being unfaithful. And decide, I'm going to plant myself by the streams of living water that you're going to need in your life. You're going to need to know the Word of God at a point in your life. You're going to need friends of God at times in your life. You're going to need a church of God at times in your life. You're going to need to be able to get a prayer answered in your life. It's never going to happen until you plant yourself right there. Number three. You're going to be faithful so you can have fortitude. Keep your roots down like a tree planted beside flowing streams. Hold your ground when life pushes. Stay put long enough for fruit to grow. You know why we're not faithful and why we don't have any fruit in our lives? We don't stay put. We're in one day, out the next. Strong trees don't move. They're planted. They stand. God wasn't planting flowers. He's planting trees. And when you let any old thing blow you off course because you're not planted, you're always going back to the start. Hey, if you don't do it, let me tell you what's going to happen. You're gonna have what I call roller coaster religion. Up one day, down the next. Up one day, down the next. Up one day, down. In church, out of church. In church, out of church. In church, out of church. We walked in Disney World this week. Josh made me go with him. He didn't make me, but he asked. You can't say no. And Jax, my oldest grandchild, runs straight to, what is that thing called? The spaceship roller coaster, whatever. I can't think of it now. I mean, I'm just getting to the point where stuff hurts. I get sick, nauseous. I get motion sick anyway. And man, we got on that roller coaster, and it's just 3 minutes of chaos. Jax loves every minute of it. He's just whooping and hollering and loving it. I get off, and I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I need a Sprite. Like, I'm okay. I love that stuff, but like, it's just a bunch of chaos for 3 minutes, and that's a lot of, it's just up, down. You don't get faithful, you're going to have spinning wheels, always be moving, getting anywhere, and a bunch of false starts. What is a false start, preacher? Let me see the best way to describe it. It's what Tennessee did right before they tried to kick a field goal yesterday. It's quick to begin and quick to burn out. Hey, I'm not asking you this morning to come out of the gates like a jackrabbit. That's a false start. But if you dig down deep, you're fed and watered, lay up treasures in heaven, you'll be able to survive the storms of life. Can I just tell you this? Roller coaster lives fall apart. It's just a fact they do. Fortitude is found in faithfulness. You want to be stronger in the Lord? Then get more faithful in the Lord. Close your Bibles. I'm finished. We've all had some of you maybe not know who Charlie Kirk was when he was horrifically, demonically murdered this week. I listen to Charlie Kirk. I have a Saturday morning routine where I get up and fix my coffee, get up about 6. I go fix my coffee and I watch YouTube videos for a couple hours, and I'd always watch hours, you know, as much as I could of Charlie that I find on there. And his podcast was the first one I listened to during the week. When I get my car, I just check it first, see what was on there, listen to it. If you don't know who Charlie Kirk is, and some of you didn't before this, let me give you a 3-minute introduction of Charlie Kirk.
We're active in about 15 campuses, and we're growing very, very quickly. And keep in mind, this is not just a flash in the pan movement. We're going to become an institution to give them the power and the confidence to stand up and let their voice be heard.
I started this organization when I was 18 years old. I decided not to go to college. I didn't get my dream school, which was the United States Military Academy at West Point. I have this idea to galvanize and motivate the future youth of this country around a core set of ideas, not just political parties or politicians. And the ideas are really America's the greatest country in the history of the world. The Constitution is the greatest political document ever written, and free enterprise is the most assured way to lift people out of poverty and create prosperity for all. Those are the three big ideas. And I think that's something that can win.
We as Christians are called to go into the public arena to correct error with truth. So I go to college campuses and there's a lot of error. We're all sinners. We all live in error. I'm far more interested in what God wants of me than what I want from God.
I have to say this without getting emotional, but I'm very proud of my husband. And I know many of you are too. You have worked so hard. And I know a lot of you have seen, obviously, his videos on TikTok and all the stuff he does on campus, but no one gets to see him from my angle except for myself and our children. And the sacrifices that he made this year, he's amazing. I'm very blessed.
And I would not have been able to do any of it without Erica. And that's the real truth. I'll tell you what.
You are here as a grassroots response to the top-down revolution happening in this country. I want our Turning Point USA students to receive a round of applause. These are the freedom fighters of America.
And the media said that Turning Point could never run a ground game. They weren't experienced. They didn't know Charlie, right?
This is the greatest generational realignment since Woodstock. This generation is the most conservative generation that we have seen in well over 50 years, and the numbers show it. What young people especially are screaming at is they say, give me a structure that I can live my life by. And especially with young men, more challenging of them, more saying, you know what? Honestly, I'm not gonna talk down to you. Stop being a boy and become a man. You wanna learn what that means? Come to church and I'll tell you what it means to become a man. Because we have the greatest story ever told. What can I do to save the country? You answer that question every single day because you are doing the work
to save this beautiful republic. You are doing something that is bigger than you.
If everything completely goes away, how do you want to be remembered?
I want to be remembered for courage for my faith. That would be the most important thing. Most important thing is my faith in my life.
Charlie Kirk's been given a lot of labels this week: fascist, Nazi, Hitler, bigot, racist. None of which were true. We just live in a meme generation that they can't think beyond a sentence anymore, and everything on social media is coming out of context. It's horrific, demonic murder. The thing I want to say about it this morning is this: Charlie basically espoused common sense biblical principles. That was it. Common sense biblical. You heard him talking about them on there. Go to church, raise a family, love God. He was horrifically murdered, and that's the most tragic thing that happened this week. The second most eye-opening thing that happened to me this week is how people have reacted to it. Not the people who are sad and grieved by it, the people who have gone online and mocked it, celebrated it, and made fun of it. And by the way, it's the same culture that has zero hesitation to murder a baby, that has zero problems with somebody espousing biblical values being murdered. Somebody with biblical values being murdered. Can I say this to you this morning? This world is not your friend. It's never going to be. We need to win everybody we can, but the devil's always going to have his truths. I want to remind you, Romans chapter 1 says that there are people with a reprobate mind who will not ever come to faith in Christ. We've seen them on display this week. The devil will and always have his troops. And they killed him because he stood for what we would call biblical values, by and large. I mean, they take everything out of context to make it seem worse, and it's biblical values. So I'm just going to be honest with you. If you're going to hang in this thing with us, they're not going to like you either. They're never going to be your friend. You're never going to make yourself happy. And when it gets to that moment, you're going to need some fortitude in your own life. The only way you're going to get fortitude then when you need it is to plant yourself now. Listen to this. You can never, you will never do the extraordinary until you take care of the ordinary. I've been like you. I've been mad all week with nothing to do about it. It hurts internally. I've been mad and nothing to do. But I'm going to tell you what you need to do. What you need to do is go back and get faithful to the God you serve. You need to get faithful to Christ who saved you. You need to get faithful to the church he died for. You need to get faithful to the word he wrote to you. And it's only in that faithfulness. Here's what you need to do extraordinary. You need to get extraordinary at the ordinary. And when you're extraordinary at the ordinary, God might just then do something extraordinary with you. The day for lukewarm Christianity has come and gone. We need people on fire for Jesus. We need a generation. Young people in college, high school, who are being called to preach and called to ministry. We need parents who are encouraging that. We need parents who will get them in church and keep them raised up, because the day is coming when the culture is coming for you. And hey, you will not find fortitude at the last minute. If you have no roots, Jesus told us, if you have no roots, if you have no foundation, you'll be blown away. So the time prepares now. Be faithful. Let's stand together, heads bowed, eyes closed.
Thank you, Pastor Joel, for that great message. In the Bible, throughout Scripture, you can find the imagery of getting your roots deep, the imagery of a garden and what God does in our life through His Word. And if we're going to have the fortitude to sustain our walk with Jesus, We've got to be planted firmly and in the soil of God's word. And so maybe your decision this morning needs to be that you connect or you establish a regular routine of spending time in God's word. Or maybe the decision you need to make is that you commit your life to Christ. That begins with you understanding that you're a sinner and your sin separates you from God. No matter how hard you try, there's nothing you can do to fix that separation created by your sin. You've got to be willing to admit that. And then you've got to believe that Jesus died on the cross, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day to pay the penalty and to close the gap created by our sin. And then according to Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, we believe that in our heart and we confess it with our mouth and we will be saved. And if God's spoken to your heart and that's the decision you need to make today, tell God this: Lord, I know I'm a sinner and I'm sorry for my sin. I believe that you died on the cross, that you were buried, and that you rose again to pay the penalty for my sin. And Lord, right now, through the power of your Holy Spirit, I ask you to come into my heart, take away my sin, be my Savior. Lord, I give my life to you in Jesus' name. Hey, if you prayed that prayer this morning for the very first time, we want to celebrate with you. We want to help you take next steps on your faith journey with Jesus. And so click on the link we've just dropped in the chat box. It says, I commit my life to Christ. We're going to ask you a couple of questions, and then I'm going to connect with you this week to help you take the next step on your faith journey with Jesus. I have enjoyed worshiping with you this week. I hope you have a great week. We'll see you next Sunday.
We hope that you've enjoyed the message this week as we help equip you to apply God's Word to your daily life. For the latest updates about what's happening around Peavine City, be sure to connect with us on social media. For more information about Peavine, to get in touch with us, or check out one of our services, visit us at peavine.org. Thanks for listening.